the language that some brands have used has been a little bit confusing.
It's really easy to turn around a disgruntled customer into a super fan.
Don't be stupid. Don't do things that you don't know how to do.
If we are old, why were we drinking 0% beer at a skate park last night?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to this week's Single Track World podcast. I'm Hannah. I'm exhausted because I'm here with Charlie and Mark, and it's taken us a while to get to this stage. That might be because they're old and technology is complicated. But we'll get back to that later on. First of all, we're going to talk about something that's not complicated at all, are we? It's warranty.
Oh my God.
Oh, joy.
And everyone just tuned out. Honestly, people, stick with us. This is going to be a roller coaster of entertainment and thrills.
What, you're expecting that we're going to make warranties entertaining?
I'm expecting that Charlie is going to have some good bike shop tales of stupid things people have done to their bikes. Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie, I have that.
You used to have a bike shop, didn't
you? I did
you?
For well over 10 years. And warranty is a thing that happens and you have to roll with it. Yeah.
Hannah, why are we talking about warranties? Just put some context at the front of this.
Okay, so somebody went onto the forum and said that their frame had broken and there'd been this like toing and froing between the bike shop and they'd taken the parts off it and then the bike shop had said no and we're going to charge you and then they'd done something else and then the bike company had said no, you can't have a warranty on it because you took all the bits off. And then they came on the forum and ranted because that's what forums are for. And somewhere in all of that, there is a path of truth. And we don't quite know what that is yet. But we decided that as a result, we'd better go and ask a bunch of bike companies whether working on your bike could, in fact, void your warranty. Because that was the message that this guy had come back with. And we think actually it might be a slightly confused message. Mm. It's taken a bit of digging to get to the bottom of it all. So,
what have we learned about warranties, though, as a result of this? Because that's the point, isn't it? We've put together an article with all the responses from all these companies. And I don't know what you think, but my first impression of the responses is that everybody's kind of on the same page. All the brands, including all of those that have been mentioned in the forum, are all kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, they're all kind of saying, don't be stupid. Don't do things that you don't know how to do. And if you do know how to do them and you've got the right tools, then it's probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's the long and the short of it. Now, there are like elements of kind of more relaxed language than others, I think, in some of the responses. And I would say by and large, the smaller companies tend to be a little bit more relaxed and the bigger companies tend to be a little bit more corporate. But that's kind of the way they are in everything. So it's no great surprise there.
Yeah, I mean, what we've done with the article, and people should go and check it out, we've asked a lot of brands, small, like Hans says, big brands, small brands. We got responses from near enough everybody that we asked. And rather than actually just doing an article saying, here's what these companies' warranties are, because you could just put a link to them and just point people at the document. Mm-hmm. And everyone could read the document and go, oh, I understand the warranty because it's written down. But rather than doing that, we've actually asked some certain key questions. So rather than saying, what does your warranty cover? You've actually formulated a bunch of questions that basically say, what would you do if this happened? So do you want to just tell us what the questions were that you asked? Can you remember them? Have you got them in front of you?
I've got them here. Right. The first one was, can a user remove the shock and fork, send it for servicing, and refit it to their bike without voiding the warranty? Now, we asked that one because on the thread, that user was claiming that they'd asked that question and been told, no, you've got to take it to an authorised dealer. And I think, actually, in the fullness of everything, that sounds like that particular customer services person was misinformed or overzealous or something. Hmm. Okay, the second question was, can a user carry out their own repairs without voiding the warranty? Are there any exclusions to this? Now, a few people on this came back and did say repairs is different to maintenance. So they were a little bit cautious about repairs. But maintenance, people were like, yeah, whatever, fine. And I would say that e-bike stuff seems to have some specific exclusions. You know, they are more technical. So, third question was, are there any maintenance or repair tasks which you require to be carried out by an authorised dealer to maintain the warranty's validity? So, again, a lot of people came back and said e-bikes. Don't mess with them. And just as a final one, I asked, does your warranty apply to original owners only? And there's quite a lot of variety, actually.
Mm, yeah, I mean, that's where most of the manufacturers, nearly all of them, in some shape or form, you could argue in the first few questions where they gave the same answers. But it was that last one, wasn't it? That was some of the results varied. Some did. Some had specific warranties that kicked in for that secondhand market, and some said absolutely not. No, it's only the first owner. So it was really interesting to find this out. I want to go back to that repair and maintenance question because I've been thinking about this. Looking at the forum thread, having talked to people for years about various things, I kind of come to the conclusion that out there, those two terms, maintenance and repair, often end up being interchangeable, not always correctly, technically, but they are discussed in sort of similar ways. For example, if your bottom bracket broke, you know, it started to grind, then some people would say, oh, I repaired my bottom bracket by removing it and putting in a new one. Mm. In actual fact, they actually just maintained their bottom bracket because these components like that have a lifespan and they wear out. So that's maintenance. And now the thing is that we as consumers, we might sort of confuse those two terms and use them interchangeably. And for our conversational purposes, that's not a problem. When it comes to warranties, it turns out that's actually really quite an important distinction. Maintenance is not the same as repair. And most warranties, it seems, cover things like repair. So something has broken that should not have broken. So a crack in a frame at a certain place that should not have happened. That needs to be repaired. That's not a maintenance issue. And so I think there's been a lot of talk about the confusion. And I think the language that some brands have used has been a little bit confusing out of all this. And I think one of the things it's led to discussion about, but technically you're saying that we can't even repair things. If we break a chain, we have to take it to a dealer. If I want to re-grease my headset, I have to take it to a dealer. And then there was the kind of, you always get these extreme fringe arguments in these cases of, whoa, so if I have a puncture, I have to take it to a dealer to get it fixed? No, I know a puncture is a repair, but that's kind of, punctures are expected it's a maintenance issue. If your inner tube bursts and you have to take the tire off, that's not a warranty thing. That's not, you don't, and it's not something that's going to void a warranty. I mean, there were some arguments about taking wheels off bikes. If you know, well, that's it. Yeah.
So
and what it's come down to is if you know what you're doing, all of these companies have said, if you know what you're doing, crack on.
It's possible in almost every single maintenance and repair scenario. If you really don't know what you're doing, you can totally balls it up. Even in, you know, if you don't put your wheel in correctly, you don't do up the skewer correctly, you can damage a frame, you know. And so even with a puncture, something as simple as a puncture, you can cause damage and also risk elsewhere.
Yeah, like if you use a bread knife to lever your tyre off your carbon fibre rim, there's a good chance you're going to do your carbon fibre rim some damage.
That's ridiculous.
And that's not going
to... Everyone knows you use teaspoons for that. Not a bread knife. Bread knife's for headsets and chopping down carbon bars, obviously.
Yeah, if you're riding in the countryside, you don't have a tube, you have a puncture, and then you end up doing that bullshit mythological repair of going, oh, I'm going to fill my tire with grass. Do you remember doing that? That was always the thing. Oh no, if you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere with a puncture and you've got no way of fixing it, you can fill your tire with grass. It doesn't work. And then if you ride back and you go and you knacker the rims on your wheels, don't expect Hunt to honour a warranty for damaging those rims in that case. It's all about being reasonable, isn't it? The thing about warranties, though, is they're written documents. And the trouble is with the written document is whoever writes them has to write them with a view to going, I'm going to read this back, and in my mind, I'm going to read it back as if I'm reading it to a judge. And so,
Or to a total asshole.
And therefore, there is a kind of an inevitable legalistic kind of structure to warranties. But it turns out from the responses that we've got, it's not a grey area as such, but it's like the warranties for all these companies, they're like this baseline. It's a fallback if they think you're an asshole. But most of the time, they don't think you're an asshole, and so they're very reasonable. And when you listen to when you read what these companies have said, the thing that comes out from all of them, including the brands that have been spoken about on the forum that have come in for some stick, what comes out of it is that a warranty is a customer service thing, and they don't want you to have a bad experience with their product because there's so much competition out there. They can't afford for that to be the case. And it seems that the technicalities of warranties are only things that these companies will fall back on if they think they've got somebody taking the piss. But most of the time, they're really sympathetic to the customers. That's my impression from the answers we've got. Real world experiences, may differ.
Yeah, I suspect your real world experiences might depend on the customer service department and the level of training that they have and some of the staff turnover and how invested they are. And I think it was Cy from Cossack in the response and said that because they're a relatively small company, they actually deal with everybody that buys one of their bikes, like directly. And so the kind of potential for arseholery is reduced because you have more of a relationship with that company. And also, if you do mess them around, well, probably the person in customer services is going to go, oh, yeah, that's that person that was messing me around the other week. Oh, yeah, last month they were here trying to claim for that. Like, you're going to get to kind of know your customers in a way that in a massive company that's selling thousands of bikes all over the world and is all much more anonymous, you're not going to. So your customer service department has got to be on it and have like sensible processes and be well trained and that kind
many
of thing.
Many years ago in the early days of full suspension, and when I tested the warranty of a big company beginning with S, and by the end of the summer I was on first name terms with Chris in warranty, and he knew where to send the frame. He knew we had it down. I think it was three frames through one summer and one three mountain bike frames and one road frame. And they were brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, first name terms, the warranty guy. And so I've always had a soft spot for that brand. So they looked after me many years ago.
And were you being stupid with it?
Is this private or public? Is it
the world is listening, Charlie?
Has the statute of limitations passed? Probably, because you're quite old.
Okay. The mountain bike frames, the early suspension frames, the top shock sat on a single bolt, not much, which was only a few mil across. It kept snapping and shoving the shock up into the aluminium seat poddy bit. That was legitimate, that was. The road frame, I may have raced a child around a BMX track a week earlier on my road bike. I won, totally beat him.
And what happened to the...
The rear triangle started leaving the bike a week later on a climb.
Please don't tell us that you put in a warranty claim.
No, I spoke to them. I wasn't expecting a warranty claim. I was asked, and I asked them if they could do a... if it's something, maybe it could do me a replacement at trade price. And the chap was so kind. He said, no, they all break there. Don't worry about it. We'll send you a new one. And so I went from a steel frame to one of their first aluminium and carbon forked frames, which is brilliant. You know, they're really good. And then I got run over on that bike 2 weeks later. So maybe it was cursed.
Ah, calm. Yeah. Karma caught up with you.
But that illustrates an important point, I think, which is that the other side of warranties is that a lot of companies, and we've all had experienced this and heard people talk about this, yeah, it's either slightly out of warranty, still ring them up, it's out of warranty, but how about we do you this deal? Now, that's not written into any warranty document. That's just customer service. Yeah. That's just them looking after the customer and being sympathetic to them. I don't know of any companies that basically have a policy of going, nope, it's out of warranty, you're on your own. Sorry, you're done.
When I was dealing with, Sousa Cycles, out of the States, they had the, it's an excellent example of looking after someone when they really, really didn't need to. So the guy, he had a full SAS carbon fat bike, which is a cross-country bike, and in the warranty, their warranty system says drop-offs up to, depending on what the bike's designed for. And I think it's a 2 or 3 foot max drop-off for their XC range. And the guy contacted me to say his rear end had exploded. And he was completely up front. And he said he was racing downhill at Fort William, missed the downslope. And so his carbon fat bike went 10 foot to flat, not into the transition. And the rear end exploded. So I passed it on to one of the nicest people in the bike world, Zach at Sousa, and I got his message back. Yeah, we're waiting to hear from him. We've been watching the videos on social media. thought we'd hear from him sooner, really. And he can have a new rear triangle, but he's got to stop dicking around with our bikes. And so everyone knew the chap didn't have a leg to stand on, but everyone was friendly and nice and wanted to look after each other. So
I have a similar story of, shall we say, a local bike company, fruit-based, to us,
but not
many years ago.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Actually, this was a story related to me by the late Michael Bonney, who was saying that, and because Orange is such a small company, still is kind of, you know, but even back then, warranty issues came into the office and everybody sort of knew what was going on. So Michael would actually deal with people who would come, you know, kids who write in and say, will you sponsor me and stuff like this. And then warranties would also come in and go across his desk. And there was one warranty from some young lad who basically his front of his bike had basically been destroyed. And it was clearly some sort of impact damage. But the story was, he was just riding along, you know, the usual. So they said, no, we can't warranty this because clearly this has been used way beyond, the damage here is way beyond anything that would be covered by a warranty. The dad of that lad was furious because obviously he bought the bike and, you know, his son's completely knackered it. So he wrote this, you know, this big letter of complaint saying, I do not expect that under normal circumstances of just riding along that this is something that should happen. And I remember Michael saying that he replied, including the photo of his son dropping off a bus shelter on the bike that was included in a letter where he was asking for sponsorship. Didn't hear anything after that, so... But yes, funny tales of warranties. But my conclusion from all this is that warranties are grey areas, and but you should be, I don't know. It's less legal issues and more customer service, isn't it? That's basically what a warranty.
They need to have the legal document there, in yes. Such a litigious world. And that there was one case that I was a stage or two removed from it, not actually directly involved. And a guy had brought his son a bike unassembled from the States. So the kid's mother, they were divorced, had a bike shop in the States. And rather than buy from UK dealer, they got it from the States. The kid assembled the bike, didn't assemble the brakes properly, and went whizzing down the hill and shot straight past the dad and into traffic and died. And that got thrown onto the desk of the UK distributor. And how can this happen? And all of this. They looked at the records, like, we have no idea where this bike came from. And people are trying to pin blame on the wrong people and who weren't even involved in the transaction. And so it is so the stakes are really high. So a corporation and a little bike manufacturer and a guy welding bikes in his shed for his friends, the risks are really high if you get it wrong. So they do need a proper legal document to protect themselves. But when it comes down to it, it's people just want to be nice to each other and look after each other. Mm. I think one of the biggest mistakes you can make is to do your warranty not by filling in the online warranty form and not by going to the bike shop or emailing the company, but using social media. Mm. I should do my warranty on social media and see how it works. And with a brand of bike from America made of steel that rhymes with girly. I won't say who it is. This chap is an American bank. It's the start of an American bank holiday weekend. They were celebrating something like the War of Independence or some silly little skirmish they won. And we're closed on the Monday. And this guy had snapped off his head tube by riding down a field of long grass and through a front wheel shaped hole, which he didn't see. And it popped the head tube away from the top tube. And so he went onto social media to complain about this and say, this is outrageous. And people say, well, hold, why, just take it to the shop. Just take it to the shop. And that wouldn't be covered by warranty. And then the guy started pulling in pictures of other same brand of bikes with a damaged head tube. And a guy chipped in and he said, hold on, that's my bike. What's my bike doing in this, Fred? That bike, the head tube snapped off out because some idiot hit me with a car. And the guy was trying to prove a point. And by the time the guys had got back to work on Tuesday or whenever in the States, people had screenshotted things and just let them know that you're going to be getting this coming through your warranty department. And by the time it got to the warranty, the story had changed. The problem is the people in the bike trade have access to social media and can screenshot things. And so just be honest. If he'd been honest from the offset and said, oh, I was a bit of a dick, I didn't see a hole, what can you do? And they might go, do you know what? We've got one here. It's got a scratch on it. Mm. But do you want that? And you go, okay. And off you go. Or well, do you want it half price? Or do you want it trade price? But if you start trying to paint a company evil and try highlighting the risks of their products and demanding recalls and stuff like that on social media before you've even given them a chance. You are not starting in the right way.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's, I think, never start a warranty claim with "I was just riding along." That's something that I would strongly recommend. It's you're probably going to get short shrift if you do that, unless you were just riding along.
But those old full suspension frames that I got through quite rapidly, one or two of those brakes out of the three or four, I was just riding along when they went. However, half an hour earlier, I was flying through the air and riding down steps and stuff like that. Then I think, what do they have back then? Did I have 70 mil of travel? Something like that, maybe? I don't know. And a coil shock that would bottom out. But it can happen whilst riding along, but it's not the riding along that caused it.
But if there's a message here to the bike industry itself, because we've got lots of advice and things for punters out there, but we kind of, Hannah, you stuck some questions. You did a marketing survey before all this kicked off. So it actually, yes. I don't know whether you were some sort of prophetic.
Yeah.
But you asked questions about what was it that influenced people's decisions to buy a bike? And one of the options in that big list was warranties, wasn't it?
But actually, it wasn't on the list because I'd put together all the kind of tools of marketing because I was interested in what people thought worked in terms of marketing. And actually, everyone went into the comments and wrote, warranties and customer service is the thing that's important. So it doesn't matter how good your Shreddit is or what adventures and sponsored this, that, and the next thing you do, if your warranties and your customer service that goes with that doesn't sort of hold water.
I mean, it's true, isn't it? I think people are prepared to... All components sometimes fail. All products, whether it's bikes or whether it's washing machines or anything. There's no such thing as 100% reliable product at all. Or maybe there is, but who knows? Right, answers on a postcard to that one.
Is that not a cheap, strong light? Choose an E2.
It kind of is, isn't it? Yeah. So when it comes to these things, I think the public at large are generally quite forgiving. They know that things will fail. Our readers certainly know this. And so the factor isn't that, oh, this keeps failing. It's more, how is it dealt with? Mm-hmm. That's the important thing. And that's what is the message to brands through all of this, is that how the importance of that warranty department, the importance of those people who are going to be that point of contact with that customer, of how they deal with that is just so critical.
It flows through the distribution of the trade. And they a retailer will select brands who make reliable products and look after the customers, and don't dick around with warranties. And so over time, companies with bad warranties will fade away, in theory. Mm.
I don't think the issues that have been highlighted this week, on the one hand, I think they're clear in the air and there's a lot of learnings happening on both sides of the operation here. But ultimately, a warranty decision, despite anything that's written down, comes down to a human making a judgment. And that's always going to be a bit of a blurry point. And there's always going to be some people who are caught in that little bit in the middle who think they're unjustly treated. But a decision has to appear at some point. And when the decision doesn't go your way, you're going to kind of feel hard done to. And so there's always going to be a little bit of friction with warranties. And I don't think anybody with the best will in the world can write down every possible scenario and put it into a document that can clear it all up. So on the one hand, I think there's a lot of good to come out of this conversation about warranties, a lot of clarity that will probably be left amongst our readers and the brands themselves. But I think the pragmatic side of me says, just know that this is not a legal thing. It's human beings making judgments. And it's about communication. It's about honesty. It's about relationship. It's about customer service. And those are all very blurry things. And it's really hard to get it right 100% of the time. In fact, I'd say it's probably impossible to get it right 100% of the time. So it's one of these things, I guess, as a brand and customer service, you aspire to 100%. That's where you want to be, but there has to be, with the consumers, I think, of a realistic expectation that it's really hard. Customer service and dealing with these issues where you're trying to explain what you've done and somebody has to make a judgment about that. I don't envy the people who have to deal with warranties. Not one bit.
Well, there was some business book I once read, a warranty opportunity is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to shine. It's really easy to turn around a disgruntled customer into a super fan by looking after them. If you leave your guy or girl, if you leave your customer out there without a replacement frame, they will tell the world about their dreadful experience. And if you replace the frame and treat them nicely, they'll tell three or four people about your wonderful experience. And so that's probably got to come down. That's got to be thrown into the equation by the warranty guy, hasn't it? It's like, actually, I can get this off my desk by putting a label on that box over there. And it's off my desk. I don't have to worry. We won't be arguing any longer. And everyone will think that Brand X, or actually Brand X is a brand, isn't it? So Brand XYZ. Brand whatever is wonderful. And so it makes business sense to look after people.
But the pragmatic side of things is there has to be a line drawn somewhere. You can't just approve every single claim because you will... So, yeah, it's impossible, isn't it? It's an impossible situation.
Bus shelter claims.
Yes.
Send them a question. Yeah. Was your son riding off a bus shelter?
Well, have we learnt anything from that? Shall we move on?
I think, yeah, we could.
You're old enough to have learned something.
I want to move on. I want to address this whole thing you're going on about age, because I'm starting to feel a little victimised. I don't know about you,
well, hold
Charlie,
on.
But do you feel like you're being... oppressed.
I'd like to present Exhibit A. If we are old, why were we drinking 0% beer at a skate park last night? Why was me and Mark? Hey, why were we rolling around on boards
because
drinking 0%
beer? With a percentage.
Where were we last night, Charlie?
More injuries would have happened.
We were at Greystone. Was it Greystoke? Greystone.
Greystone.
Greystone skate.
Greystoke. Greystoke is an obviously much better name, though.
Yeah. What's that? That's a Tarzan isn't it, Greystoke?
It is, yes.
So we're at Greystone Indoor Extreme Skate Park, padded up and sliding around, rolling around and sliding around the bowls and ramps of an indoor skate park last night.
Well, I was thinking Greystoke sounded like Stoke for the elderly. So.
And how are you feeling this morning, the day after last night's... Basically, it was just about an hour and a half.
It was an hour and a half.
An hour and a half of skating.
Yeah, I'm okay. If I don't use legs, if I just avoid legs. And
We bumped into a reader. We bumped into a single track reader, didn't we? I didn't get his name. If you're listening to this, I'm really sorry.
Because you did actually bump into him personally.
Well, nearly. He said to me, are you from single track? I said, yes. He went, right, you wrote about this place, didn't you? And so about the don't cut out the fun. I said, yes, I remember that. He says, that's why I'm here. Yeah. So there we go. The power of Single Track as a brand. We bring customers into various places, don't we? I didn't catch his name. But if you're out there listening, then we'll be there again next week. Hope to see you then. And
I won't be there next week.
More Single Trackers, you're all invited. Come to Greystone in Manchester, the skate park. And come and get a lesson. I'll give him an ad. Give him a plug now. Monday nights and Thursday nights is adult skateboarding lessons. And it starts at beginner level, goes on to improver. And that's where it stops. It doesn't go to advanced. Because
no one survives.
We'll never get there. No one ever makes it that far.
So, Mark, I have seen Charlie rolling around at the skate park now, and I've seen your wife, Vic, rolling around at the skate park and doing little kick flips and stuff. I have not seen any evidence of you doing anything other than being there to do the videoing.
Well, that's because my ego isn't as needy as either Vic, my wife, and Charlie. I just go and skate for myself. It's all about me and my inner child. I don't need to tell the world about how rad I am. I know how rad I am.
Charlie, how rad is he?
Long
yeah. Oh, I wish we all had video now.
He does wear a cross-country mountain bike helmet without a peak to a skate park, which is kind of wise because it's well vented, but it's not a rad look, perhaps. He's doing well.
What were you wearing on your arms last night, Charlie? Weren't they about 40 years old?
1980 Rector pants that smelt like they've been packed away since the 80s, because largely they have. Yeah.
Yeah, retro pads. Retro. Very retro. You know, just because it's retro doesn't mean it's not shit.
I used them. I used them several times. Had hip padding, knee padding.
A lot of fun
thing.
Was had. Anyway, we're not the only ones doing rad stuff like that, because Hannah, you're getting massively into bouldering of late, aren't you?
Is that rad? I suppose it might be perceived as rad. No, it's just something I can do with my kids. That's exercise that we can all do at the same time, and nobody has to carry a disproportionate number of snacks, and nobody has to moan. Yeah, it's good.
I quite fancy doing that. Funnily enough, plugging Greystone, there's a climbing wall there as well. But yes, right. Shall we on that
well,
point
the reason
of,
for all
of
this
proving
old.
That we're not old.
Well, that was the reason we were talking about that, was because there's a forum thread about the unexpected side effects of getting old.
It's genius. It had me rolling around laughing.
I haven't read it.
But they're not that old. That's what I find really worrying, is that they're all complaining of being old, but they're all about 50. Like, that's not actually very old.
There were some people in there saying, I just turned 42 and I was going, shut up. You've got no skin in this game at 42. Get out. What was one of your favourite comments from that thread? What was it?
The becoming the owner of a particularly long shoehorn. That was.
There was lots of talk of sitting down to wee.
Take a book.
Which I'm a great advocate of.
I don't know why you don't all do that anyway. We all do. So. Yeah,
I think it's. I find it really weird being the same age as old people. So
full disclosure: Charlie and I are 51. Just in case.
Shut up, old man! I'm 50.
Are you 50? God damn!
What? 2 months? 3 months? Maybe something like that.
Well, my sister was 30 this week, which is really troubling, because that's the age that I think I am, and yet I know that I am in fact 14 years older than her. So that's
somebody commented on the fact that things just take so much longer to heal, and I've had great experience of that when I broke my leg, and I went back to the consultant after 6 weeks to look at the x-ray and to make some decisions about what happened, whether I could ditch the crutches or not. And I went for a, before the session with the consultant, they did fresh x-rays. After the x-rays, I sat with the consultant in the room, and on the screen was an x-ray of my broken fibula. And it was, you could see the fracture in it. So clearly this was the x-ray from when I'd just broken my leg. And I sat down with the consultant, and he looked at this and he said, so clearly, Mr. Elk, you can see that it's actually healing quite well. And I said, wait, what? Sorry, you mean that is now? That looks totally broken. He says, well, yes, but you can see there's healing going on. It's doing okay. And I said, I'm sorry, I feel really disappointed that that's as far as we got. It's been 6 weeks. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, well, Mr. Olker, if I was talking to a 12-year-old boy right now, we wouldn't even be able to see anything on the x-ray. He says, but, well, you know, you're 50. there was the most depressing thing that he could have said. And it did. It took another 8 weeks before I was properly hobbling around. So, yes, the whole healing, which questions why the hell we're going skateboarding, Charlie. It doesn't make any sense.
And I've been getting progressively worse. I started in 1977 at 5 years old, and I've been getting progressively worse since for a quarter of a century of getting worse, losing tricks. But it still makes me smile. And apparently
you were doing all right. You were off. I mean, last night when you saw that park for the first time, it reminded me, you know that scene in Willy Wonka where Augustus Gloop sees the chocolate river? That's what it was like. When Charlie saw the skate park, it was like he just beelined for it. And just, oh, I'm going. And you just, it was so much fun to watch. And then you completely binned it.
second turn, it was slippery. Broadway wondered why, and I just went slam straight down on my side. And... yeah, straight away. But it's fun. It makes you smile. It keeps you young. And somebody told me, I don't know who told me, we were drinking somewhere at a party, and they said, oh, no, skateboarding's good because things that keep your balance prevent dementia as you get older. Mm. And so
to
balancey things are good for keeping you mentally young. But I've...
Well, just doing stuff is good, isn't it? Like working and... problem solving and like challenging your brain and stuff like that. So maybe all those single trackers are just cruising too much. They've got far too easy lives and they're just cruising on the forum. And yeah, because they were all like, oh, I forget my words.
Well, I was talking to our new single track skateboarder last night and I said to him, I said, I love this because I'm not good at it. Mm. Therefore, I have to assign 100% of my brain doing this, and that means that there's everything else, any other problems, any other things about what the hell, you know, warranties and whatever are gone out of my brain, and I'm just focused on that one thing because I'm not that good at it. And so, and that's the great thing, it allows you to switch off. And he said, yes, that's exactly the same thing. So it is, do stuff that's hard.
The best time to,
the older you get, do hard things.
The best period in a sport is the first bit. When you pick something up and everything's new and weird and you have to like figure out how to climb, or how to tie climbing knots, or how to skateboard off a curb, or how to, wax a board, or whatever it is. It's the steep learning curve at the beginning, which is the most involving. And when something becomes kind of easy or familiar, it's not so thrilling. Mm-hmm. And so, I think, who told me this? I know who it was. It was animated sheep from Mountain Biking UK. In the corner of one of the cells, it said, "Maturity is an overreaction to reality." And I think Joe might have been onto something there. And I think if you play is super important. Play is part of. There's something. There's a documentary on World Service about this being played out around this week. Animals play. Humans play, everyone plays, and as you get older, you should carry on playing. It's if you stop playing and think you're just that's for children, then you'll get slow down, get dull, start moaning at the neighbor's kids for skateboarding in the street, and you'll become a grumpy old dick. And no one wants that on their gravestone.
Nope, you don't stop riding bikes because you get old, you get old. Because you stop riding bikes. And you can apply that to anything, to any aspect that you do. How's that for an ending, Hannah?
It's very philosophical, Mark. I'm going to go away and align my chakras.
And I'm going to launch a new single track product where you get a chairlift.
What? Single track playmates was the thing you were going to launch.
Single track stunner.
Yeah, single track special vitamins. A big mono slipper, giant mono slipper, and a stair lift with every subscription.
Let's leave it there. Join us again next week for more of this if you can stand it.
Goodbye.
You.
Goodbye.
Bye. Working with old people, we can hear you typing really aggressively.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.